Today on Life Talk.
As soon as it says, but God, the Bible is saying things looked like this, but then God stepped in and changed everything. Things would have gone this way, but not for God. But now the God factor comes in. He says, but God meant it for good.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
As a pastor, I've heard the question over and over again, why do bad things happen to good people? Likewise, one of the things you often hear from the atheists of our day is, if God is really there, why do the innocent suffer? On a lesser scale, life is still often unfair. Somebody gets the job you should have gotten solely because of somebody they knew, or you've gone through a divorce and the spouse that so badly wronged you in the marriage has successfully turned the kids against you. Three of you were speeding down the highway and the police pulled you over while letting the others go. Sometimes the unfairness of life can move us to question God's love and care, and whether or not He's truly in charge of the circumstances that come our way. And if we're not careful, the unfairnesses of life can eat away at our faith to become a faith breaker. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share from the life of the person that experienced more unfairness than anyone else in the pages of Scripture. That person is Joseph. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, When Life's Not Fair.
I'm going to show you today about a man in the Bible who was treated really more unfairly than almost anybody in the Word of God. But the faith breaker he went through became a faith maker. And I want every faith breaker you go through to become a faith maker. I don't want to see any of you not finish strong. Amen? I want to see you finish strong. So let's read about Joseph. I'm going to jump right into Genesis 37. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And we're going to read a couple of verses. And I'm going to give you just a couple of highlights about Joseph's life. Then we're going to dig in. So it says, when Joseph came to his brothers, they tore off his coat, the coat of many colors that he was wearing. And they took him and they threw him into a pit. Now that pit was an old well. It was a dried up well. The pit was empty, had no water in it. Verse 28, some Midianite traders were passing by, so the brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit, out of the well, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they took Joseph down to Egypt. Now, I'm talking to you about the unfairnesses of life because life is often unfair. Some of you experienced an unfairness this week. Some of you experienced an unfairness on your way to church. But if I asked you, how many of you have had something unfair happen to you in the last year, it would be more of you than not. Because just because we're a child of God doesn't mean we're not going to experience unfairnesses. Amen? Now, life is often unfair. It's a fact. Somebody gets the job you should have gotten, and they got it because of who they knew, not because of their expertise. And you know it, and they know it. You should have gotten it, and that's not fair. Some of you have gone through a divorce. And the person who treats you so badly during the marriage has now also managed to turn your kids against you. And that's not fair. Three of you were speeding down the highway and the cop pulled you over. And the other two people were going faster than you. And you said to the cop, how come you stopped me? He said, I wanted to. Show me your license. That's not fair. Well, you deserved it. But you're wondering why he didn't stop them and why it ended up falling your way. Sometimes the unfairnesses in life can move us to question God's love and care, can't they? Say, well, if God loves me and cares for me, why do you let this happen? And it also can make us question whether or not He's truly in charge of the circumstances that surround us. If He is in charge, Why did he let that happen? Because if I'd been in charge, I wouldn't have let that happen to me. So why did God let it happen? Where was he? Why didn't he step in? And it can cause us to question God's love and care. And I don't think anybody but Jesus Christ himself, who was treated more unfairly than anybody in the Bible, but next to Jesus Christ, it has to be Joseph who experienced more unfairness than anybody in the Bible. And yet, we're going to see today what one commentator wrote about Joseph's life. Here's what he said. Catch this, it's really good. The story of Joseph gives us the clearest evidence of the providence of God conducting all things with amazing and stupendous wisdom and making all things work together for good to those that love him. Though he was treated unfairly, God worked it out for his good and for the good of the entire nation of Egypt and the future Israel. Now, little 17-year-old Joseph, he's in a nation. He is amongst a people, a strange people in a strange land with a strange language. He speaks Hebrew. They speak Egyptian. And he's on an auction block now, and he's got people bidding for him. And Potiphar, who was an employee of Pharaoh, purchased him. He was an officer of Pharaoh, purchased him and took him to his household as a slave. Now Joseph, who was free, who was with his dad, with his family, he's yanked away from family, yanked away from his house, his brothers, his familiar surroundings, all that he knew, all that he loved, and he's put on an auction block. Now he's sold. He's taken into a stranger's house in shackles and made a slave. Everybody say unfair. Now the Bible says that when he gets there in Potiphar's house, the Bible lets us know Joseph was handsome. And it wasn't long before Potiphar's wife began to cast her eyes on him. And the Bible says that literally every day she hit on him. Every single day, he was being tempted to adultery by this woman who didn't care about her marriage, obviously. She's hitting on this young Hebrew, and every day he resists her. One day he's got to go into the house for some work reason, and she literally grabbed his garment, and he fled, leaving his garment in her hand. He kept his integrity and ran, and instead of just taking his clear message, I'm not interested in you, this spurned woman decided to exact revenge, and she started crying rape, and she accused Joseph of trying to sexually assault her. And whether or not her husband Potiphar believed it, I don't know that he did. I kind of think he suspected she was lying. But based on her word, he seizes Joseph, and he throws him into prison for something he did not do. So here's this 17-year-old, well, he's a few years older now. He's still a young man. He can't believe this. First, I'm betrayed by my brothers. Now I'm lied about by my boss's wife. And now I'm in prison for something I did not do. Everybody say unfair. Let's say it like we mean it. Say unfair. See, there's nothing fair about this. Now, you know what we know? He spent a combined 13 years in Potiphar's house and in prison combined. He was 11 years in Potiphar's house, 2 years in prison. In Potiphar's house, he was chained, he was shackled, he was a slave. He couldn't come and go like he wanted to. He'd lost his freedom. And then he's put in prison, which is even worse. A dingy, stinky, dark, depressing prison cell under a false accusation. So from 17 to 30, Joseph is in circumstances he doesn't understand fully. He trusts God, but he doesn't understand all that has gone down. Now it gets a little bit worse, and then I'm going to get happy with you, so just hang on. During his imprisonment, Pharaoh's chief baker and butler were thrown into prison with Joseph, and they both had dreams, and Joseph interpreted their dreams for them as a favor and as a kindness. And when they were released, listen to the request that Joseph made to them. He said, "Please, have some pity on me. When you're back in Pharaoh's favor and mention me to him and ask him to let me out of here because I haven't done anything wrong." But the Bible says the chief baker promptly forgot all about Joseph, never giving him a thought. Everybody say again, unfair. Now, if I know Joseph, let's just say I'm back in those days, and I know Joseph, and I sit down and I talk to him, and he recounts to me his life, and he tells me he believes in God. Would I not be inclined to say, at this point in the game, well, Joseph, then where's your God? If you believe in God, then where is he? You've been lied about, you've been betrayed, you've been accused falsely. I mean, one thing after another has gone sour with you. What in the world, where is your God? In the natural, that's what I would have wanted to know. Because up to now, his life has consisted of one unfairness after another, one betrayal after another, one heartbreak after another, betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, lied about by his boss's wife, thrown into prison for something he didn't do, and forgotten by people he'd been good to. You would think, would you not, that whatever faith he'd had in God was by now completely obliterated, or at least shaken to its roots. But you know what, folks? It wasn't. It wasn't. And I'm going to show you in a little bit why it wasn't, and why, even if things have gone south with different things in your life, why it should not shake your faith. And I want you to keep something else in mind here. This is amazing to me. Joseph had no Bible. Moses was four centuries away. He didn't have any of that. He didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit like we do. He didn't have a church to turn to for support and prayer. Hey, pray for me. Man, this woman lied on me, and I'm in prison for something I didn't do. He had nobody to go to ask for prayer, because all of the Egyptians were pagan. None of them believed in the God of his fathers. All that Joseph had was the teaching of his father Jacob for the first 17 years of his life and two dreams regarding his future that God had given him. That's it. That's all he had. And yet, God kept him. And how did he navigate through all these negative, discouraging, disappointing circumstances, these huge unfairnesses, and come out on the other side stronger than he went in? How did he do it? How did this faith breaker become a faith maker? How many of you would like to know?
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
We want to know how to navigate through things like this, don't we? How did he get through it? This Joseph, he didn't have any of the blessings we have, but he made it with flying colors. Well, I'm going to tell you how it happened. His daddy, Jacob, died, and his brothers got together and said, he loved Dad, and he didn't do anything to us because of Dad. But now Dad's gone. So surely he's going to wreak vengeance on us for selling him into slavery and throwing him in that well. So one of you go ask him what's on his mind. So one of them went to him and said, hey, Joseph, listen, I know that we threw you in that little well way back then, and yeah, we sold you into slavery, you know, what's on your mind about us? And he said this, it's so powerful, and here's how he got through what he got through, and here's how you're going to get through unfairnesses that happen to you. Here's what he said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God, everybody say, but God. See, as soon as it says, but God, the Bible is saying, things looked like this, but then God stepped in and changed everything. Things would have gone this way, but not for God. But now the God factor comes in. He says, but God meant it for good, to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. See, Joseph was sent to Egypt to save future Israel from starvation and the lineage that would bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was sent to Egypt because a great famine was going to come on the promised land, and God knew it. And so God moved Joseph like a chess piece into Egypt years before the famine came, and Joseph began to store up grain and granaries because God told him to do it, and Pharaoh's dream had consisted of that. He stored up grain and granaries, so when the famine came, here comes his 11 brothers, here comes Jacob, and he saved their life, and in doing so, saved the future nation of Israel and saved Judah, whose lineage brought forth Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So everybody say, God had a plan. and God's got a plan for you. Now, I want to break this thing down. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Let me break this down. First thing I see in that is evil was real. The evil was real. What they tried to do to Joseph was real. And you know, sometimes we come under attack and we want to ignore it. We want to deny it. We think that we can just confess it away. But you know what? When the devil attacks, you've got to deal with it. And this evil was real. The hurt they caused him was real. He said, you really did mean evil against me. You meant it. You tried to take me out. You tried to bring me down. You tried to destroy me. As far as you were concerned, I was gone forever. That's a fact. But here's something else I got to tell you the truth about Joseph. Maybe you've never heard this, but you know what? Joseph brought some of it on himself. And I'm going to encourage you with this in just a moment. He said, well, how did he bring it on himself? Look how they did him dirty. I'm going to show you from the Word of God how he brought some of it on himself. See, when Joseph was a teenager, he used to go out and visit his brothers where they were tending the flocks out in the wilderness. And the Bible says that he brought a bad report of them back to his father. He'd go out there with them. He said, what's going on, guys? Hey, what's up? And they would talk to him, and he'd watch them for a while. And they were apparently doing something that he knew Daddy Jacob would not like. So he went back, and he was a snitch. He went back and he said to Jacob, hey, you know what your sons are doing? My brothers are doing? Let me tell you what they're doing, Dad. And Jacob would say, really? So Jacob would call the 11 brothers together, and here's what he would say. Joseph told me, snitch. Now, do you think they said, oh, yeah, you know, you're right. We all repent. You think they didn't turn and look at Joseph with daggers in their eyes? And then, of course, he made the big mistake on top of being a snitch of telling them his dream. Yeah, I saw you guys. You're all bowing down to me. God gave me two dreams. Thus says the Lord. One day, you're going to all bow down to me. Isn't that a cool dream? Yeah. That's cool, Joseph. That's really cool. We're hatching a plan for you. Because we don't even, not only do we not like you now, but we hate you now. But see, Joseph brought part of it on himself. Now, here's the deal. We see that God not only overruled the evil his brothers intended for him, but God also took his own mistakes and worked them out for his glory. I want you to know today, folks, your mistakes, God knew you were going to make them. And can I tell you today, if you give your life to Jesus and bow down to him and he becomes Lord of your life, he will take even your mistakes and weave them into his plan for you and work it out for his glory. Because that's what he did with Joseph. Now, secondly, we see that God was ultimately in charge of Joseph's life. The evil was real. He brought some of it on himself, but God was ultimately in charge of Joseph's life, and he's ultimately in charge of your life. You may not believe it, but the steps of a good person, and if you're in Jesus, you wear his righteousness. And that means you're a good person in the eyes of God. That is, you are a person over whom righteousness has been spoken. And that means the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in your way. And even though you fall, you will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds you with his hand. So God was ultimately in charge because Joseph said these words, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God. I love those two words. I love those two words, but God. But God, listen, folks, how many times would the enemy have taken you down, but God moved? Amen? How many times would you and I have gone down for the count, but God stepped in? How many times would men have crushed us, but God would not let them do it? What a miracle that some of you are even in church today because Satan had you in a corner. Your circumstances were more than you could stand. Nobody thought you'd survive it. Nobody thought you were going to make it. It looked like you were never coming back. But God, acted on your behalf and turned it around, and here you are today, hands in the air, smile on your face, redeemed. He turned the corner. He brought you out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set your feet on a rock named Jesus, establish your steps, put a new song in your mouth. I think I'm going to preach a little bit. He put a new song in your mouth, even praise to our God, and many are seeing it and trusting in the Lord because of what you came out of by the power of God. You see, Joseph saw God's hand working out God's plan. He saw it. He said, "You meant evil for me, but God meant it for good. God overruled your evil. God overruled your plan. God overruled your intent. God overruled you." And God overrules the devil and people who want evil against us all the time. I think one of the great surprises of heaven is when we realize how many times God sent an angel who delivered us and preserved us and kept us and watched over us and kept the enemy from destroying us. I think one of the great shocks of heaven is going to be realizing all those times that our God sent his angels and put them in charge over us, lest we dash our foot against a stone. I think it's going to be a great shock. And I think he doesn't show it to us now because we would faint and never leave the house again. Now, let me clarify one thing. I'm not saying that God was behind the evil of Joseph's brothers. God wasn't behind the evil of his brothers. The Bible says God is good, and he only does good. You know, we love saying God is good all the time God is good. That's really a little derivative of Psalms 119:68, where it says God is good and God only does good. God doesn't do evil. He can't do evil. James said, when you're being tempted, never say, God is tempting me, because God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anybody else. God will never tempt you and I to sin. So he wasn't involved in the evil of Joseph's brothers. But here's what God does do. He works through the evil of men to bring about his purpose for us, no matter what man does. See, they thought we're destroying Joseph. God overruled and said, no, you're just getting him where I want him to be. All you are is tools in my hand to get him into Egypt where I want him anyway. So I'm going to use your evil to get him into Egypt where I can bring my plan to pass and save Israel and save the messianic lineage. One of the greatest evidences that we really trust God is when we refuse to harbor bitterness against people who have wronged us. Because when you know that God's in charge, you say, when people wrong you, yeah, that's wrong. Yes, they intend evil. Yes, they have done wrong. But if you know that God's in charge of your life, you can always look up and say, God, I give them to you. This is what Jesus did. Listen to what Jesus did. Peter said, when he was reviled, that is Jesus, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Oh, catch that. How many times was Jesus wronged? He was wronged every day of his life once he started his ministry. Lied about him, attacked him, tried to kill him, gave false reports about him, threatened him. And what did Jesus do according to Peter? He always looked up and said, God, I'm not going to threaten them, but I give myself to you and I trust you, myself in your hands, because you always do what is right. You always do what is just, and you're in charge of my life and not those who want to hurt me. Powerful thing to learn. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So Joseph trusted God's providence, and he saw his brothers as the tool to get it done. Let me close with a powerful verse. Here's what Joseph understood, and it carried him through it all. God upholds and sustains and governs everything. Is he Lord of the universe or not? He's Lord of the universe. Isaiah said, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I'm going to read that again. My counsel shall stand. Can I read it one more time? My counsel shall stand. And I will accomplish all my purpose over you, no matter what people do. Everybody say with me, life's not fair, but God is good.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.